We have the scripture reading, which is on the back of your program here. I'll read in English, and then Enami-san will read in Japanese. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 to 42. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For stars differ from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable.
コリント人への手紙第1、15章35節から42節。ところがある人はこう言うでしょう。死者はどのようにしてよみがえるのか。どのような体で来るのか。愚かな人だ。あなたの蒔くものは死ななければ生かされません。あなたが蒔くものは後にできる体ではなく、麦やその他の穀物の種粒です。しかし神は御心に従ってそれに体を与え、おのおのの種にそれぞれの体をお与えになります。すべての肉が同じではなく、人間の肉もあり、獣の肉もあり、鳥の肉もあり、魚の肉もあります。また天上の体もあり、地上の体もあり、天上の体の栄光と地上の体の栄光とは異なっており、太陽の栄光もあり、月の栄光もあり、星の栄光もあります。個々の星によって栄光が違います。死者の復活もこれと同じです。朽ちるもので巻かれ、朽ちないものによみがえらされ。
Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? Good, good. You guys having a good weekend so far? The flu is going around, I believe. Just a lot of people getting sick. Be careful. I'm getting over allergies, sickness. So just watch out for that. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. God, you are worthy of praise and worship. There is none like you. There is no one who compares to your greatness, your goodness. Thank you for allowing us to come together here as a community, as a church, to worship you, to give you the praise and honor that are due to you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill this place, fill our hearts, fill our minds. We ask for revelation from you, Lord, as we go through your Holy Scripture, that you would give us insight, understanding, and a transformed mind and heart to do your will. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, thank you all for being here. I know you have a lot of options on a Sunday after morning. I want to say afternoon and morning at the same time, but thank you for coming here to JCCT and worshiping God with us. Today is Resurrection Sunday, or as Phil likes to say, Easter Sunday. No, just that's so 80s, Phil. I'm just kidding. Resurrection Sunday. What is the resurrection, though? Have you ever asked, maybe this is the first time you heard the term resurrection, but what is resurrection? What does that mean? What is the implication of a resurrection? And so we're going to be looking at that today. We're doing a series of God Will Open If. And last week I explained why we're doing that series. I see a lot of people that weren't here last week, so let me just reiterate why. So 2 weeks ago, I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw a woman walking, and she turned around and said, "Open If." I think she said, "Do a series on Open If." And that was it. I woke up. It's one of those things, I knew if I didn't write it down, I'd probably forget. So I wrote it down. And I'm not saying necessarily this dream was from God and I had to do this, and you know, if you come to these series, you will be blessed off your socks. That's not what I'm saying. Although it might be true. No. It might be true. It might have been from God. It was to the point where I would have felt like I was violating my conscience if I didn't do the series on Open If. And so I decided to do a series on God Will Open If. And today we're going to look at what God will open if we understand the resurrection. We receive the resurrection. The Bible passage we're looking at starts with, "Someone will ask," but someone will ask, "How are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies, and what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain." What is the resurrection? Christianity centers on the belief that Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. Also, we who put our faith in Jesus will also one day resurrect from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4. Earlier in this chapter, it talks about the importance of the belief of the resurrection. And let me just turn my Bibles there. Does anyone bring Bibles to churches anymore? Let me just do a quick survey. Just by a show of hands, how many of you actually brought a Bible to church? Okay, that's not too bad. It's like a quarter of you. How many of you just use your phones for a Bible? Please raise your hand. About the same amount. I actually use my phone for a Bible. So, some of you need to just welcome the 21st century and technology as I turn to 1 Corinthians. Sorry. 1 Corinthians 15 reads, "For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas," and he goes on to talk about the different things that happened. "That His death and resurrection is so important that Paul, the writer of this letter, will go on to say that if that didn't happen, then Christianity is actually futile to believe in. It's not worth believing in if it actually didn't happen. Now, of course, that is a lot more believable back then than it is today, because today's Christianity, you could be a Christian and still live a really good life, right? Yes? Some of us are living really good lives even though we're Christians. That was not always the case, and that will not always be the case. When Paul wrote this, that was not the case. If you're a Christian, it meant your life. It meant you're throwing away your place in society. To a certain extent, it still means that. To a certain extent. Not always. So what does it mean to resurrect from the dead? In the context of this letter, Paul is addressing an incorrect doctrine or teaching that there is no literal resurrection of those who died, and that the only resurrection that pertains to this life and that's important for us is a spiritual resurrection, if you will, a metaphorical resurrection. There was a false notion that the false notion was that Jesus died for our sins so that we can be spiritually resurrected here and live a great life here. And if you know anything about the Corinthian church, they were living a pretty comfortable life. In fact, they were excelling in spiritual gifts. They were doing all things well, Paul says. Now imagine that. A lot of the world is persecution for being Christian. In Corinth, there was a church thriving, financially thriving, spiritually booming. People came up to the altar, laid his hands on the people, eyes were open, deaf ears here. A lot of great things happening. And so they came up with this idea, maybe the resurrection Jesus was talking about is just simply spiritual resurrection. And we've arrived. That's what the Corinthians were thinking. We've got the mystery. We've got it. And all you other churches, you got to kind of be like us, because we're the it church. Paul comes in and says, no, 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 no. No. This is not what the Christian life is about. Following Christ isn't simply about a spiritual resurrection. Certainly, it involves that. It certainly involves spiritual, metaphorical death and resurrection in our lives. Heck, you don't need to be Christian to believe that, right? Even non-Christian understands that there are death and resurrection in this life. You put certain things to death so that other things could flourish in life. Paul is saying, this is none other you've heard or seen or understood. We are talking about a literal resurrection. The resurrection is actually a certain time and day that has yet to happen. And it should be the time and day that all of us who believe in Christ should be looking forward to. Jesus' death for our sins is just but one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is this. That after we die physically, literally, we have a resurrection to put our hope in. Good news? Yes. Amen? Yeah. Any Christians in the house today? If not, don't worry. We got great potluck for you afterwards. The louder the amen, the more food you get. No, that's not true. Paul says this, that the physical body that dies is but a seed. You are a seed. I am a seed. This is like an avocado seed you see right here. It's a bigger seed. We got some mustard seed in the room. We got some avocado seed. We got different sized seeds. 38. But God gives it a body as he has chosen. He's talking about a seed here. And to each kind of seed, its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind of humans, another kind for animals, another for birds, another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for stars differ from star in glory. The seed in this analogy is our body, is our life. Paul is saying our body, our life here is but a seed. And until that seed literally is buried, it will not produce the life that it was meant to produce. Life will not spring up unless this body dies. Think about that for a second. We're just a seed. Not a lot of people parade around seeds, right? Look at this seed. Look how great this seed is. But they will look at a tree and say, wow, that's an amazing tree. Right. Paul is saying, the tree is important. But unless that seed dies, it will never become a tree. Just as we see diversity of living things in our life, each person that dies is a unique seed and will have a new body, just as Jesus died, rose from the grave, and has a unique body. In fact, if you look at the Bible, there are instances where the disciples see Jesus, recognize Jesus, but can't put a grasp of why he looks so different. But nobody wanted to ask, why do you look so different? This resurrection body that Jesus had was a literal body too. He ate with the disciples after his resurrection. Interestingly enough, he had the ability to walk through walls or closed doors with this body. It wasn't just a spiritual body, and it wasn't just a physical body. It was a unique body. Perhaps a body that has access to all the dimensions we are living in. The unseen dimensions as well. I am not a physicist, but according to physicists, there are more than the 3 or 4 dimensions we live in. Some say even up to 10. Certainly, there are things that are unseen, and they call it dark matter. There's gravitational pull, or there's weight, but there's no mass. And they believe it's because they are in another dimension. I believe this resurrection body will have access to all the dimensions, the seen realm and the unseen realm. Is that amazing or what? I feel like I'm not selling this enough. I'm not going to sell it at all. It seems like this new body, though, doesn't come until we die. And apparently, eyewitness testimonies of people who has had NDE experiences, near-death experiences, say the body that they seen in heaven when they had an NDE looks like yourself, but when you were younger, or when you were at the perfect age, or whatever.
Thank God.
Yes. I don't know if you're saying that to yourself or you're looking at me and saying, thank God. I don't know. But every resurrection apparently will not be the same. Paul says the seed is different. And God gives everyone a seed, and it looks different. Just as you and I. We all look different. We all have different glories. Some look better than others, but it's all just a seed, right? And then he starts talking about the glories of the heavenly bodies. And he starts using sun, moon, and stars as an analogy, as an example. And he says, these things have different glories. Now, the seed isn't what is glorious. He doesn't use glory so much when he's talking about the earthly body, the terrestrial beings. And it's not supposed to be glorious. That's the point. Our earthly bodies is not supposed to be glorious. So if you're investing your life into having a glorious earthly body, Paul is saying, and the Bible is saying, you're investing it on something that's very temporary. It's not supposed to be that glorious. The value isn't in the seed. The value is in what the seed can produce. And the body will be produced after the seed dies. Except, I just want to put this in there, with one maybe exception, this in 1 Corinthians 15:51, it talks about the rapture. When the resurrection occurs, there will be perhaps people living on earth still, and they will be caught up and resurrected with a new body before they literally die. That's perhaps the only time when we will not literally die and have a resurrection body. I'm not going to talk about the rapture. If you want my take on it, ask me after service. But the point he makes in talking about the different glories, sun, moon, stars, and how they all shine differently is this. In verse 42, it says, so is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. Meaning, is she okay? Meaning, drum roll please. No, just kidding. Meaning, we die, and when we resurrect, not everyone's going to shine the same. I believe that's what the analogy is. That is my take on it. That some will shine like the sun, some will shine like the moon, some will shine like the stars. Glory to glory to glory will all differ. That the glory that we would emanate, the glory that we will give out, will not all be the same. It depends on how that seed dies. And it seems like the more insignificant the seed is in comparison to what this world values, correlates to how glorious that seed, that body will shine on the other side of eternity. Jesus, in one of his parables, uses a mustard seed as an example. You see this mustard seed? I don't have one in my hand if you don't see one. Don't worry. Just imagine one. Mustard seeds are supposed to be very small, tiny, insignificant. Stuff that people don't really care about. But if it dies and it's planted, it will grow to be a great mustard plant. In the Middle East, I think it's called black mustard tree or something. And it could grow to be very big. And I believe he uses that analogy. Now, this is mixing parables, but I believe he uses that analogy to let us know, and here Paul is making a connection, that seed, your life is a seed. Your life, if it's in, if it's nothing, insignificant, by the world standard, like a mustard seed, he says, don't be worried. If your life is focused on God, and maybe you don't have the degrees, maybe you don't have the nice house, maybe you don't have the great job, maybe you don't, and fill in the blank. If you devote your life to God, that insignificant looking seed on this side of eternity will produce a seed far greater in glory than what that's